Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
No one intervened on behalf of...
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 23 of the Puckle TCG Cast. I am your host, Lord Yoshiro, back all the way from Japan. That was one heck of a trip. Can't wait to tell you guys about it. Probably not on this show, but eventually I'm going to post some videos and stuff. Now, of course, I am not alone. I have my panel here with me. But before we go to that, let me, of course, give you the introduction. This is, of course, Puckle. Puckle stands for Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name that our fearless leader, Thatch, gave us, and we just stuck with it. And speaking of our fearless leader, some say that the only reason that Waldo is hiding is because of him. Please welcome Thatch.
Hello, hello. I'm here today.
He's here. And, of course, some say that he's the only man alive that can hit a soup bat right between the eyes. It's Basket.
Howdy, Puckle Peeps. How's it going?
We're doing great. Now, thank you guys for being here. Now, before we continue, though, I do want to say one thing. I want to thank Gator. I want to thank Thatch, of course. And I want to thank Heidi for that incredible, amazing episode. For our last episode was great. It was a great interview. Really kudos to you guys. I love Heidi's time there. She's so knowledgeable. She definitely has been a long time in Pokemon, and it was refreshing to see a voice that definitely told us a lot. So thank you so much for coming in, Heidi. I hope you keep on listening to us and we meet your standards.
She was a lot of fun to talk to.
She was a lot of fun to listen to. I am, of course, a little bit offended that the only time that Pokemon 15 Questions was failed, I was not on. But that's fine. I can live with that. Now, we have a great show for you guys today. We're going to talk on the news. We have a few cards that have been revealed. We've also, just today, fresh off the bat, by the way, I should say this, we're recording this on March 28th, 2017, and today, a new set was revealed. We're going to talk about that on the news, followed on with Topical Beach. We're going to talk about mechanics that we've missed. Why aren't they back or here still, and mechanics that we really don't want back. Followed by, of course, deck of the episode, and finishing off with the mails, then Pokemon 15 questions. So let's go ahead and do that and start with the news drop. And we are here on the news, and there's a few things to talk about. So let's start with the first. Now, a few new fighting Pokemon, well, not new fighting Pokemon, but has been revealed. A few cards, Machop, Machoke, and Machamp from Sun and Moon 2 has been revealed. Now, between the three cards, not much to say, except for that Machoke, which I want to cover. Machoke is a stage 1, of course, evolution from Machop with 100 HP. Now, the awesome thing about this one card, it's its ability. Its ability, Intimidating, prevent all damage and the placement of damage counters from your opponent's attack and abilities to your bench Pokemon. Now, what is super interesting about this Pokemon, we've had bench blockers in the past, such as Mr. Mime with Barrier. Now, what makes stand this out is it specifically says prevent all damage and placement of damage counter. Now, one thing we were always discussing in the past in the TCG is that wording is law. When a card says protection from damage, it means when the attack of the Pokemon does damage. Now, if it says placement of damage, that's a completely different thing. For example, a Pokemon that, like Darkrai from the old set, which sniped for 30 damage to the bench, he will not be able to hit something like Mr. Mime because it's protected from damage. Now, Golbat and Crobat from the Expanded, they're able to still damage them because it's placing damage counters. It's not actually doing damage, it's placing damage counters. Now, this Machoke protects you from both. That is something that is pretty awesome to see, specifically on a fighting Pokemon, which they tend to be a little bit more offensive and a little less on the defensive side. What do you guys think?
I really like it as a stage one. Oh, I apologize, Basket. You can go ahead.
No, it's totally fine. Go ahead.
I really like it as a stage one, honestly. Because it's not like Mr. Mime basic. You just throw it on the bench, you're done. I really like that you have to dedicate deck space to this, because this is a card that will shut down decks, right? I mean, this is going to shut down Decidueye. This is going to shut down Greninja.
Alakazam.
Yeah, it's going to shut down. Shut down decks. And I like that. I think it's a cool way to balance it by making it at least a stage one.
Yeah.
In such a way that, like, you have to work up with it and you have to commit deck space to it. Like, you need Machop as well. There's no way getting around that.
Yeah.
So when I saw this card, it kind of made me want to cry a little bit. Because this makes Umbreon lose its ability to fight back against an already uphill climb against fighting types.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy because it neuters all damage spread and it can be teched. And because it's an ability, it can technically be teched into any deck. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It might take up space that can be used more effectively in like a lot of other instances. But with all the hype from Umbreon and the strength in all the Veltal variant decks, this is a card that has the potential to bring like a big meta shift in regard to your Veltal. If it's used as much as it could be, I mean, it guarantees your bench is safe from anything but a Lysander that puts it in the active, which, to my knowledge, which is somewhat limited over, past XY. But to my knowledge, I don't think it's ever been done to this magnitude. And this is a pretty ridiculous card.
It is. It is really specific. Now, another thing that is good to note, that because it's an evolution, Alolan Mach does not block it. So a Garbodor with the tool attached to it may be able to block the ability for this Pokemon, but Mach, which everybody was craving about because it's Garbodor, but without the tool, but it only affects basic, means that Alolan Mach cannot block this ability. So you need a little bit more than that to be able to protect, to do damage to the bench if you're counting on that. So this is a very interesting card. And the Machamp is not bad either. But we're going to skip that one and just leave it when we review this set. It's just a big damage down. I honestly just like the Machoke. The Machamp has possibilities, but the Machoke definitely is what it's there. But we're going to move on from Sun and Moon 2 to Guardians Rising. Theme decks, which were revealed. Thatch, take it away.
Oh, man. So, I mean, theme decks are fun. I've been playing a lot of that on TCGO right now. Just a lot of theme decks. Because it's a blast. You can just play around with stuff that just wouldn't work otherwise.
Yeah.
I also like the Sun and Moon theme decks. Because they give you some decent cards in them. Like Nestball, that's a fantastic card.
Yeah. And, yeah, they revealed that the Solgaleo and Lunala theme decks are going to go out, of course, based, not the GX ones, just the regular...
Yeah.
Versions of them.
So you have regular versions. These are probably Guardians Rising cards, obviously.
Yeah.
And so Solgaleo does these are like standard like theme deck cards. You would never use these otherwise. For a metal and a colorless, you can do Shining Arrow, which does 50 damage to one of your opponent's Pokemon, so you can hit the bench with that. You can snipe with that.
Yeah.
Which is actually, that's not too bad. From a stage to get to a stage two just to use that, I think that's worthless. And then you also have, for two metal and a colorless, Fangs of Sun, which has 170 damage, but you can't use it the next turn. So it's kind of a recharge there. And for Lunala, for one psychic, you can do Shatter Shot, which is 40 times damage. It does 40 damage times the number of psychic energy attached to this Pokemon. So that's not terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of like Mewtwo.
Pretty good, actually.
That's not bad, but it does
scale up. I mean, you only need three to do 120.
Yeah, that's better than the Mewtwo, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that one might actually see some use, honestly.
Well,
and
I think
cheaper deck.
Yeah, go ahead, Basket.
Oh, I was going to say, if Lunala could be set up quickly, you know, like maybe with like some crazy forest of giant plants for psychics. The card would
be rare candy it. You could rare candy it.
Yeah, but I don't know if there are any psychic decks that can hold out for a long enough period of time to Lunala to, you know, get up to second stage and then try and throw as many psychic energies as you can on there.
And also we have to take into account that these Pokemon stage ones could also evolve to these GX forms.
Yeah.
So you have to decide whether or not you want to use a normal stage 2 on that previous Pokemon, which I forgot its name.
Cosmoem.
Whether you want to evolve that to Lunala GX or this Lunala, of course. Most of the time, you want to go for the GX.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could still see this being... I could see somebody trying to make this work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if someone had if they wanted to build, you know, like a fun deck for leagues with Lunala GX, then this would be a fun tech card, I guess. But I mean, I don't know anybody who wants to build a Lunala
GX. And what's even funnier is the fact that this syncs really well with Lunala GX, which ability allows you to move around your psychic energy, like Fairy used to do with Aromatis. So you could theoretically put all your psychic energy into this Lunala and in theory do a lot of damage really fast all of a sudden. But of course, again, we're talking about two stage 2 Pokemon. And not only that, two stage Pokemon that evolve from the same line, so you can only have 4 of each. So it's interesting.
It also has a weakness to darkness, which is a really strong type right now. So
So it's interesting, but those theme decks do look very interesting to have. Of course, the Solgaleo deck is metal and fire.
It's metal and psychic, and then the Lunala one's psychic and fire.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah, because I mean, it's just denying Solgaleo, and again, you know, they're just like, no fire type for you.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, so moving
in their defense, fire type does suck. So.
Oh, it does. It does in the TCG right
now. Yeah, it needs a little boost.
Yeah.
And we need that little boost so they can rise like the Guardians that we're going to get in these promos. Basket.
Yeah.
Take it away.
All right. So we've got new Guardians Rising promo blisters that have come out, and they feature Turtonator. The dumbest dragon type ever, and my favorite electric speedster, Vikavolt. I know, whatever. I'll take the flack. Turtonator sucks.
Neither of the two things you just said were right.
Like, Turtonator and a dragon?
Turtonator's pretty cool, and then Vikavolt is not fast like at all.
Whatever. Get out of my life. let me live in my world where Vikavolt's fast, and you can live in your world where Whimsicott's.
That was a good bit.
So Japan already had the Vikavolt as a promo card when you bought a booster box from the Sun and Moon collection, but not the Turtonator, which in Japan, both of these will be released on Friday. And the two sets will be available at the same time in Europe and America on May 5th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be exciting. Is Turtonator dragon?
Yeah, he's dragon fire.
Oh, there we go. I keep learning new things from Gen 7. I have to play more.
Fun fact, you should play some Beta, man. You should play some video game.
I need to. I need to play it. Zelda has me pretty, like, hooked in right now, so I got to detach from Zelda.
Fair.
But I do have an excuse to go back to Pokemon Sun and Moon.
We had a couple of those episodes by the time this is out where, like, there's some competitive information in them, you know?
Oh, yeah. So, but I do have to go back and play Sun and Moon, and I have a good excuse, and that excuse is Olivia, because Olivia is my waifu. But speaking of Olivia, we have an Olivia card! And it was going to be released, of course, as Sun and Moon 2. And I love this card. Number one, the art is amazing. She looks great. And of course, the card says it's a supporter card, obviously. Search your deck for up to 2 Pokemon GX and put them into your hand, shuffle your deck afterwards. Now, that's a great, great card.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as we are finding GX Pokemon, like we did with EX Pokemon, is not as easy as of yet. Olivia will start helping with that. This kind of reminds me of Winona,
mm-hmm.
which allows you to get any colorless, 3 colorless, very specific search. This reminds me of that. It's a really good card. Any card, any deck that will focus on GX Pokemon, this must be on their deck. So it's a great card. They also revealed Shiny Tabu Koko. Of course, it's just a hidden rare for that set. We already discussed what Tapu Koko does. And we're getting a non-GX Tapu Bulu, which has an interesting attack. So let's go through it. It's 130. It's basic. Grass, of course. Its second attack is what's interesting. 1 grass, 2 colorless. So basically a DCU and DCE and a grass. Tapu Strike, 60 damage plus. If you use your GX attack this game, this attack does 60 more damage. So that's interesting. It's interesting that it just depending on whether or not you use... This is a mechanic that I haven't seen before, of course,
mm-hmm.
where it depends on you doing something in the game. And if you already did it, now this game this attack permanently does something. So usually if you do something in your turn... And you play another card that says if you did this on your turn, then you can, obviously, it does whatever effect. But this one is permanently. As soon as you use the GX attack for the rest of the game, Tapu Bulu does 120 damage. So that's pretty interesting. I've never seen that mechanic before. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I haven't seen it.
No.
And, of course, the last one to discuss here that's interesting is Alolan Ninetales. Alolan Ninetales has 110 HP, and I know, although Fluffy doesn't listen to my program, she would be excited for this card because it's pretty darn good. It's a bit of stage one, of course. Its ability, Light Barrier, prevent all effects of attacks, including damage done to this Pokemon by your opponent's Pokemon EX and Pokemon GX. It's Suicune again. Suicune with... Safeguard that prevents mm-hmm. all effects and damage from EX Pokemon. Only Ninetales does it for both GX and EX Pokemon. Its attack is so-so. 1 water, 2 colorless. Aurora Beam just does 80 damage. But for these type of cards, they don't even need to attack. Same thing with Machoke. They're there for a purpose. And these blocking cards are there to stall your opponent. So this is a great card. Something that we see each and every set that is coming in that water is getting a lot of help. And mm-hmm. we are soon going to see water just everywhere. Super excited because it is one of my favorite types. So we're going to move on from that one onto Basket, who's going to talk about the best of X and Y. Go take it away.
So I saw this and it seemed pretty cool. I'm not sure. Have any of the cards that are going to be coming out been released?
It's a reprint, apparently.
Yeah.
It's a reprint set.
Right. So do we know which ones are being reprinted, or have they not come out with a list yet?
No, I don't believe. I haven't seen one. If there is, I haven't seen it after today, right. March 28th, but yes.
Because this could be pretty cool. If they're just trying to... Oh, and remind me, and listeners, if they don't remember, does this mean that they'll be playable, or they're just...
Yes.
They're going to have their same little...
No, this seems to be its own set, yes. Which is weird, because this would mean that it's the second reprint set that Japan receives for X and Y, and we haven't received nothing but a reprint in the sense that they're reprinting... oh my god, I forgot the name of that set. My memory's being jogged.
They're doing Primal Clash, right?
Not Primal Clash. No, the one with Rayquaza.
That's Roaring Skies. I know they're reprinting that. Skies. They're reprinting another one as well.
They're reprinting it, but what they're doing is not there. It's not a reprint. It's just
they're boosters. More.
Yeah. This is a total reprint. Yeah. Go ahead, Basket. Sorry.
I'm sorry. That all just really confused me. So you cannot play these in regular standard play, correct?
Yes, in Japan. No, in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yes in Japan, no in the U.S. Yes, okay,
correct.
Because it's not because these aren't coming to the U.S. Is that correct?
We don't know yet.
All right. Okay. Cool. So, all right. So these this set is going to be released in Japan on April 19th. It's going to contain the reprints of X and Y, like we talked about. And the set's going to have 171 cards, excluding secret rares,
which is ridiculous. It is.
It's crazy. Big. I mean, this is going to be a great set for collectors specifically. Oh, yes. Because 128 of them will be reverse holos. The rest are, I guess, probably going to be Pokemon EX and secret rares.
Mm-hmm. So the cool thing about these reprint sets, which we haven't seen one here in the US since Hidden Treasures. It's the fact that not only are they great for collectors, they're great for competitive player. Because they're reprinting good cards. So your chances are extra high that when you buy those reprint sets, you're going to end up with something usable because it's a reprint of the best cards of the set. So they're great. The problem is here in the US, we haven't seen one of these since Hidden Treasures. And that was what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? And none of those cards are no longer in rotation. So it's kind of sad.
And that's black and white.
Yeah, exactly. So continue, Basket.
All right. And then also, we're going to get Sun and Moon, Sun and Moon 2 Strengthening Expansion Pack. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be released April 19th. It's going to have at least 49 cards, and a lot of them will be reprints from Sun and Moon 2, like Sun and Moon 1 plus contained reprints of Sun and Moon 1. I just rambled there. Yeah, I don't know what that
is. So basically, they're doing this type of expansion in Japan where they are re-releasing the set with more cards. We rushed this set, and there's a lot of cards that we left out. Now we're going to release this set again with more cards. Kind of like those Game of the Year editions for video games.
I was just going to say, release the game with more DLC.
Exactly. So whenever you see the plus at the end of these Sun and Moon sets, are what they are doing is basically reprinting the same set that a few months ago were already released, but with more cards. So you can keep on buying. Now, I did a video on Facebook about opening, on our Facebook group about a week ago, about opening some Japanese boosters. And it's not fun in Japan. Because boosters in Japan, yes, they're cheaper. They're like a buck or two, buck and a half if I had to make the conversion in my mind. But they only include 5 cards and you're not guaranteed any rare. So pick your poison there. Here they're expensive, $4, $5 for booster, but at least you get around 9 to 10 cards and at least you're guaranteed one rare. So it's kind of weird in Japan. So these boosters are coming, thanks Basket, and we're gonna move on to the next one, which is kind of following the same thing. It is another set that has been revealed in Japan. It's called Ash versus Team Rocket deck. Basically, if you guys remember, this is a combination of two things, I like to say. So this is really based on the anime. Now, it is not rare for Pokemon TCG to go into anime territory. It's just rare here in the US. Now, notice we have a lot of Japan information in this episode, and I just came back from Japan. It's a coincidence, I promise you. Nothing to do. But anyway, going back. So in Japan, these anime cards are not out of the ordinary. They've rarely hit here in the US. This is basically one of those versus deck, like the championship decks, like Darkrai versus Mewtwo, except specifically for the cards. In this case, it's featuring Pikachu and Mimikyu. It'll be Ash's Pikachu and Team Rocket's Mimikyu. Spoilers for those that watch the anime. And they will be kind of specific in the sense that if you all remember the set that did come here, Team Aqua versus Team Magma, Double Crisis, where it is a very one single thing that they play well with each other, but if they don't play well with the rest of the cards in the TCG. So this is definitely a for fun slash collectors thing that is going to be revealed. Of course, it's going to have steals from the anime, and it will feature Ash and crew, as well as Jesse, James, and Meowth. To give you an example, the Pikachu, Ash's Pikachu GX, will be revealed. It has 170 HP. It's a basic Pokemon, of course, and it has three attacks. It's first attack for one lightning, quick attack, 20 damage, flip a coin. If hits, it does 20 more. Its second attack, of course, Electro Ball, two lightning, one colorless, 100 damage, and its GX attack requires three lightning, 200 damage, discard all energies attached to this Pokemon. And that's, of course, is the GX. It has weakness to fighting, resistance to metal, and a retreat cost of one. But we might not actually see this here, which is, might be a pity, but who knows? Maybe it might actually reach our side. Now moving on to more Guardians Rising news. Thatch, take it away with the blisters.
Oh, man. So they revealed some blisters for us for Guardians Rising, like you just said. And it looks like we're getting Serena and Lurantis. Serena was a promo from, I believe, what collection? Sun in Japan. We didn't get it here in the US, though, yet, right?
Yeah.
Yet. That's what I thought. And are you sure? Wait. Maybe we did. We got a Serena card. We got a Serena card that was, it looks very similar to this one, but I could be wrong.
Okay, we might have. I'll have to go back and check.
We might have gotten it, or maybe TCG Online is just playing tricks on me.
Not that I'm aware.
like sometimes they'll just find like a random card and I just won't know what's going on. So Lurantis though is very interesting. which is, I mean, Lurantis GX is still really good, so I don't know why you'd want to play regular Lurantis, but the ability, the attacks of your grass and fire Pokemon do 20 more damage to your opponent's active Pokemon before applying weakness to the resistance. That's why you play this one over the other Lurantis. So, so does that stack, by the way? Like,
it
if you have more
does.
Than one? Oh, that's better. That's just like the Machamp. Yes. That's just like the Machamp.
It's brutal if you're not prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, and grass is a decent type right now as well.
It's a great type.
Oh, it's been a decent type for a while now, yeah.
Well, because of Force of the Giant Plants. I think we can owe most of that to that single card.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Which also adds to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Evolve immediately. It's just a stage one, and it does, your attacks do 20 more damage if your active Pokemon is either grass or fire. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not fire. That's fairy.
Maybe fairy, my bad. Yeah.
Is it fairy?
Red is fire, I think.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no, it makes sense because it's probably like a sunny day ability. Yeah, it is. It's all called sunny day. I misread.
Oh,
that.
There
yeah.
we go. That's the
reason. So it's going to do it for both. It's going to do it for both. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And
now this, ladies and gentlemen, is, so, to me, this is my honest opinion, and Gator might kill me, and so would Basket. This is something that I would consider playing over Decidueye GX.
No, you're wrong.
Decidueye GX, its ability allows you to place 20 more damage on your opponent. Although if they have a Machamp, they can protect their bench, so it will only be your active. And it's a stage 2, and it's a GX. This, to me, is way playable if you want to stack up that damage, for sure. At least that's my honest opinion.
I think you could definitely stack up some decent damage with it. I'm a little worried about it if it's going up against, I don't know, anything it doesn't super effectively hit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a cool card. It's a really cool card.
On your bench isn't like the same as putting four. What's it called? Putting four like Decidueye GX on your bench. You're attacking your active. And I mean, if Machoke sees a lot of play, I could see a shift to this, right? But if Machoke doesn't see a lot of play, I don't think you're going to see a lot of people doing this. I think this will be more of a response to Machoke if anything happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that it's going to see a lot of play, but it's a good card that might actually.
Oh, yeah, no, you'll definitely see it. It's just it's not going to be the most common.
It's basically a muscle band that you can reuse every turn. multiple times. So you have two of these down. That's an extra 40 for each attack your grass or your fire Pokemon do. So it is literally sunny day if we're replaying the VGC. So that's awesome. But we're going to move on there and going back in time, back to Gen 6. Because we're going to have a Mega Power Collectors coming. Basket, tell us about it.
Yeah, like Juice said, we have the Mega Powers Collection, which will be released in America and Europe on May 19th. It'll have a reprint of Lucario for all you Lucario fans, but with a new card art for all you collectors out there. It also comes with a Jumbo card for Jumbo card fans. And I've never been a fan of the Jumbo card, but to each their own. It'll also come with a new Lucario Spirit Link promo as well. That's going to be in the collection. It's also going to have four full art promos, full art foil promos of Mega Manectric EX, Mega Lucario EX, Jolteon EX, and Zygarde EX. And all of these promos are going to be reprints of existing cards, but are going to feature brand new artwork. The box is also coming with 8 booster packs and a PTCGO code card for people who play online. And it's also likely all of these cards will be included in Japan's Best of XY set in April, because these are all pretty decent cards.
They are. This is a great buy. We were freaking out when they revealed that last Battle Championship deck with the Fight Me, Kyurem.
Keldeo.
Keldeo.
Yes.
With Keldeo and Rayquaza, which included so many good cards. This is almost that level. We have four great, great EX Pokemon here. We got Lucario EX.
A reprint it's with the same set, right? Like,
no, it's a full reprint. Like,
it's this, a full, like, are you sure it doesn't have the same set symbol? Like,
no, yeah, it's a reprinted, it's a promo, it's a promo print.
It's a promo print. Oh, I mean, we don't have a Lucario EX anyway, right now, so.
So, what's awesome about this, it includes that Mega Lucario EX, which looks beautiful, by the way. It's a great, great card looking. We don't have a Lucario EX right now in rotation as we speak. However, the other cards that are included here are also amazing. We got Mega Lucario EX, which is also one of my favorite cards of all time. We got the Mega Manectric is the one that I wanted to say, actually. Mega Manectric. We have Jolteon EX, and we got Zygarde EX. It all included in this box for $49.99, including 8 booster packs. It's a great deal. I would definitely buy one of these. It's definitely a great, great purchase. Anything else you want to say about these?
No. I just think it's going to look cool. We can make some cool coasters out of it.
Yeah. And lastly, we're going to finish up the news with Guardians Rising's pre-release promos. They've already been announced. It's going to be Monstail, Oricorio, Drampa, and of course Alola Sandslash. Now, we're not going to go through them. They're part of the release, so once Guardians Rising are released, we'll talk more in depth about them. But before we end the news, actually, I lied. I have one more piece of news, and that is that today, Japan has announced its Sun and Moon 3rd Plus set expansion called Shining Legends.
It's like we're like so far ahead. It's great.
I'm excited to be getting all this info.
Yeah. Shining Legends, of course, will be releasing in Japan July 15th. And it's going to feature Shiny Mew GX, Mewtwo, we don't know if it's a GX or not, and of course, Pikachu. Now, it's going to feature 72 cards, excluding rares, which is kind of small for a set. Which means that this probably won't be a reprint, because of how the amount of cards it has is pretty small. And, of course, this comes just at the nick of time where the Pokemon 20th anniversary movie is in theater. So, basically, this is going to be more Gen 1 love for the TCG to celebrate the movie that is coming out that month.
Let's hope the cards are as good as Evolutions.
Oh, God, no. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Because I will seriously just flip the desk.
Those were some really good cards, you know.
Yep.
My favorite was that Nidoking, you know, stage two. It was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Now, we're ending the news here, ends here, but before we take our pina coladas and move to Tropical Beach, let's take a look at the Athens results.
Athens,
thank you.
Athens.
Now, these are the results for one of our big tournaments in February. It took a while for this information to be collected by Pokemon.com. We're going to talk about real quick is just what decks were in the top eight. So we're starting out with the first place. It was Chris Sikala in the Masters Division with Turbo Darkrai, followed by Dylan Bryan with Vespiquen.
I like this guy.
Vespiquen Zebreska.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Sitavi.
Zebstreka.
Yeah. With the same, basically not the same deck, but it's Vespiquen Zebstreka.
Mm-hmm.
We got Kyle Sobelhaus. I'm mispronouncing all of these names, so there we go. With Turbo Darkrai, we got Ahmed Ali with Mega Rayquaza, which actually surprises me. Luis Zambrana, also with Mega Rayquaza, and finishing the last two with William Boatman with another Vespiquen Zebreska. And Chip Wright Richie with Mega Rayquaza as well. So congratulations to our February winners of Athens. And,
I was so surprised. I was very confused until I realized that it was Athens and that was in February. Because yeah. I'm like, wow, where are all the Decidueye?
Yep.
Just in case anybody doesn't know why this is relevant. So this is Athens, Georgia, mm-hmm. USA. Not
Greece.
Not in Greece.
Yeah, very important to say. Okay, so we're going to move on. Take our pina coladas. Get your hammocks ready. Let's go to the beach and just enjoy of this tropical weather. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Tropical Beach.
Welcome back, everybody, to Tropical Beach segment of our episode where we discuss the topic of the episode. This time again is mechanics. Which ones were great, which ones are not? We want to take this opportunity to just talk reminiscence of those mechanics that we in the past we enjoyed a lot and we want to take back. Pokemon has evolved, no pun intended, through the years a lot, both in the video games and the TCG. And just like the video games, there are some mechanics that are introduced every time we have a new generation. And so Pokemon giveth, Pokemon taketh away, as they do in the video game as well. Some of these, though, we really want back. Just like Thatch loves to have that Pokemon walking behind you back.
I absolutely do. I've never not wanted that.
There are some of these that we actually do want to. So I'm going to go ahead and start with one of my favorites. And that is Ancient Traits. Now, you might argue, hey, wait, Jashiro, come on. We still have Ancient Traits. Yeah, we do, because they're still in rotation, but they're going away. They'll be gone very soon. And you know what? I love Ancient Traits. Now, for those of you at home that don't know, Ancient Traits is a special type of Pokemon ability, in quotes, that appeared at the top of the card in some cards that were from Primal Clash onwards that included an extra skill. For example, we had a Medichamp that every time it attacked twice. So for every turn, either of its attack, it would do it twice. We got another one of my favorites, Primal Groundon, which its ancient trait basically was, this card is not affected by any trainers whatsoever. You couldn't Lysander it. You couldn't Hypnotusic Laser it. It couldn't do anything to Primal Groudon once it finally evolved. And what I really enjoyed about these mechanics is that nothing could be protected from them. There were no cards that said your opponent... Well, there's always cards that say your opponent's Pokemon abilities do not work or the effects of each of attacks don't work. There was never something that says your ancient traits could not work. So these abilities were a surefire thing extra that these cards had that would make them have an edge over other cards. Not only that, because these cards had extra text on them, they had different art. And their arts usually were kind of full arts, not completely, but almost, where you had the cards kind of like popping out of its arts box. So that was very cool. I really enjoyed. What did you guys, Basket? Tell me what do you remember about Ancient Traits? If it's something that you really liked.
Yeah, I really like Ancient Traits. It allowed you to do a lot of like cool, interesting things, and it made some cards that might normally suck like find a place in your deck. Specifically, I remember having two Bunnelby in my best.
Yes. Bunnelby were necessary.
Yeah,
because of that Waylord.
Yes.
Well, yeah, yeah, but. I used it purely just to grab stuff out of my discard pile. Also, I played around with this Excadrill deck that had an ancient trait that where you were basically allowed to attack twice. And you could hit numbers some of the time, and it was stage one. So yeah, you could, if you wanted to, use evolutions and stuff like that. And so that one was fun. It added like another level that was fun and interesting. And I didn't think that it cluttered it, you know, like
yeah.
A lot of times they'll put out some, you know, new weird mechanic or whatever. And you're like, this is just too much. I don't need this.
Just like Pokemon Break. I thought that Pokemon Breaks mm-hmm. were a good idea, but at the same time, to EX, it made it kind of cluttered in my opinion.
Yeah.
Thatch.
I mean, same thing. The Bunnelby really is the only thing that comes to mind. I mean, there were others. I like the artwork for those cards, though, by the way. Like, that's something I wish they would bring back. It's like that half-full art style.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's fantastic, because in what other scenario are you going to get a full art Bunnelby, you know?
Exactly.
Like, that's never going to happen. Like, that's never going to happen.
You're totally right. Now, and what so, are... go ahead.
What if Bunnelby's your favorite Pokemon? You know, you're just like, I want a fancy Bunnelby card.
There you go.
Basket, do you have any mechanics that you miss, you want back?
You know, I do not want them to... Okay, there's some that I don't want to go away. Yeah. I like the GX setup a lot more than the EX setup, or could you play? Were primes basic? Primes weren't basic, right?
Primals were evolution. Were mega evolutions.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Or no. I meant prime, like Pokemon Prime cards.
Oh my gosh, that's so long ago.
I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh wait, no, they did need to be evolved up to. Anyways,
yeah, the first EX cards.
The first EX cards were exactly what GX is today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I want it to be that way. Part of me wants it, you know, to stay so I can just have my favorite Pokemon and have them, you know, kick butt and just bring them out, without having to worry about evolving them. But, my desire to play like a fun game where neither player gets just, you know, outright destroyed. You know, kind of overweighs that, or outweighs it, or whatever. So
no, you're 100% right.
Yeah,
I think that's also. I mean, I want to bounce off that. I think.
Yeah, go for it.
I think in the same vein, one of the things that I want to see go away is particularly Shaman. I don't think it's a good card, obviously, right? Why at one point it was $70, but I think that's 100% the problem. That stops people like me from going to League to play, right? Because you have a card that is necessary to run two or three of in a deck, and it costs at one point $70 a card. That's $210 for a playset, and that's absurd. Yeah. That's absurd. And so yeah. I'm really excited for it to go away after this rotation. I am incredible, because I think you'll see a lot more people try to physically get into the TCG after it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And technically, I would actually blame Nintendo for that, because
I would definitely blame TCG.
They could have put it out as like a promo card, or in, you know, some sort of.
You mean the Pokemon Company? Because they are the ones that handle the cards. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. My bad. Yeah. Because they could put it out in boosters they could have put it out in a tin and just made the price drop drastically. Mm-hmm. But
I don't know why they didn't do that.
So I wouldn't blame the card, and I don't think the card needs to leave. I think they should try a better, they should know that's what's going on, and that there's this, you know, Pokemon market kind of thing going on.
I do understand that. I think it's just one of those things where it's going to come with how the game is slowing down, you know?
Yeah.
And it's going to be one of those things, because with Shaymin gone in the fall, it's just going to, the game's going to slow down drastically.
We're assuming it's going to be in the fall, but at this point,
I think that's a safe bet.
What's going to happen.
I think it's a safe bet. They typically do it after Worlds.
No. Well, there is a rotation happening. We're just not sure how that rotation is going to happen. And for the, taking into account that Shaymin has already been reprinted in Japan. So
But Night March was also reprinted in Japan.
Yeah. Well, right now, Night March is legal and standard in Japan. So it's this confusion. Usually we've been pretty much on par with Japan. This is the first time I understand, at least in my experience, which I've been aware of Japan as a country. I didn't know it existed before this. We've always been almost really similar, minus some promo cards or stuff that were released there that hasn't been competitive, that really didn't make a difference. This is like, we have worlds, different metas right now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. And I don't know how Pokemon is going to fix that heading toward worlds is where I'm kind of laying at. It's like, how are they going to deal with this? Because in worlds, both of these meta will clash. And the Japanese team
piss everybody off.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know exactly how they're going to deal with it. So I'm not too sure. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Continue.
Yep.
Okay. So, then coming back to me, another one of these mechanics that I truly miss is everyone's favorite Aspex. Now, Aspex were a special type of trainer. Back in Gen 5, those Aspex, you could only have one of these Aspex per deck. You can only have one of these cards, so you can only
use them. They're still an expanded, though, right?
Yes, they're still an expanded.
Yes.
And they were usually so powerful that you only really needed one. Famous example is, of course, Computer Search, where you could discard two cards from your hand and search for any card on your deck. Now, that is a powerful card. Same thing with Item Finder, which allows you to discard two cards from your hand and grab one from your discard pile. These are cards that were very exciting to play. They were very, very fun to play, and they were also kind of expensive to own, honestly. But you only needed one, so that was kind of like you don't need a playset, you just need one of these cards. Now, we have something similar working on today, such in GX, in the GS meta with GX attacks, but they're kind of like not the same. Having that trainer card it always felt like an ace up your sleeve. Hence the name, Ace.
Pun intended.
Exact. Oh, completely intended in this case. Because they were cards that you could just, a la Yu-Gi-Oh, you know, just take out and say, you know, I do this and you're done. So they were really, really great cards.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Basket. Do you have any memories of Aspex and which were your favorites?
So I didn't actually play much while Aspex were in, but I remember... I remember having to buy a Computer Search, and that was pretty expensive. Yeah. I was doing it specifically because we were going to be going to Jushiro and I, we were going to be going to a league.
Mm-hmm.
That was an expensive card. I was not happy to put
at
that
least, at least a place that's only one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You only need one.
That was the only reason I bought it. Because if I would have had to have bought like four of them to make it like playable or whatever, it would have been gross.
How about you, Thatch?
I mean, I didn't play during that. The only one I know of, I think, Hypnotoxic Laser. That's one of them, or no? No.
No, wow. That was a regular.
Oh, God, that's awful.
That's a regular item. And,
I mean, the only one I know is Computer Search.
Item Finder.
I didn't play. I didn't play during
Super Super Scoop Up. Mega Scoop Up.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I never played. That allowed you to retrieve everything. Your Pokemon, its evolution, its energy.
It was back to your hand. GX pack of trainer cards. You know,
I forgot one of my favorite Scrambler. I forgot the full name. Basically, you could switch your Pokemon with one of your bench and all the damage counters and energy stay on the Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually pretty cool.
That was cool.
Well. So nice. Thatch, do you have a mechanic that from the past that you might recollect that you kind of miss right now?
I mean, I didn't play a lot in the past. I played like with the original cards, and then I got into it at X and Y.
Yeah.
And that's about it, because I was just coming back to it. And then Roaring Skies really turned me off, because they got to like $8 a pack. And yeah. I was just like, I don't want to play that. And then I came back to it after the rotation.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's nothing that I really want back right now. I'm really happy that the changes that are happening.
Yeah.
I'm more happy about that. I'm excited for the rotation that's occurring, hopefully very soon.
Yeah, we all do, actually. Basket, anything else you want to add in the mechanics positively?
No, man, I'm ready to start blasting the mechanics.
Let's go ahead and do that then and move on to those mechanics that, hey, thank you, Pokemon Company, for trying, but please don't do this again. And one of my huge pet peeves that they keep on doing it, unfortunately, because it's them, it's fossils. Now, fossil Pokemon have their own mechanic in the TCG. They have since the very beginning.
They've changed it, though, I think.
So, yeah, they've changed throughout the years. The original fossils, they work just as basic Pokemon. Or, like, Pokemon Doll, Poke Doll, that was being Robo Doll, that was used not too long ago. Where you just place it on your bench as a basic, and then you evolve that into your fossil. Back then, it was bad. It was pretty bad at first, and then they try to be cute with it and change. It's like, yo, you don't like the mechanic, let's change it. Now, the recent fossils that we've been receiving, seen are the ones that basically make you search your bottom cards, and if there's a Pokemon fossil there, then let's just put that on your bench. Still very weird. What did you guys think? What do you think?
It's garbage. Like, who cares? I mean, first of all, the fossil Pokemon in general, they're just awful.
Like, there's a few gems there, but not much.
There's not much.
Like, Archeops.
I still hold the position that, like, that 90 to 95% of Pokemon cards you pull from a pack are garbage.
Yeah, well, that's like, always going to be.
I think that's 100% the case.
Yep.
And 90% of the time, 100% of the time, they're just awful. And I think these are included in that. They had that fossil researchers box that you could buy.
A while
ago, and that was still awful. Like,
yeah.
they're just not great. They're not great cards.
Yeah, Basket.
Yeah, I've never played fossil cards to the point, like, and I remember reading their mechanic and how they worked, because there was one that I thought looked really cool before I really had any understanding of how to actually play the game.
Yeah.
And I read the mechanic and I was like, this is stupid. Like, this is horrible. And then I just totally forgot how, like, I just never picked up another fossil card again to even worry about how to do it. So I completely forgot how the mechanic even worked.
Yeah. Well, they changed it midway as well. So it's like, even if you did, they changed it. Now, it's always been one of those things that, for me, why do you do it? I understand that you're trying to implement something from the video games to the TCG to make it different, but it really doesn't work. So why not just take it out and just give me a basic Aerodactyl? Right? It's not that hard. Just give me a basic Aerodactyl. You know, give me a stage one Archeops that I can evolve from its basic evolution. Kick out the fossil mechanic off the window. We don't need it. It's cute in the game. It's not cute in TCG. Let's move on. And definitely it's one of these ones that they keep hammering on us that they want it to make it work for whatever reason, and they just they don't realize that they're just making these cards just hard to play.
It's filler.
It is. It's definitely.
It's like that, those like 300 Naruto episodes that have like no bearing on the show at all.
Yeah.
That's what these cards
are. It's a hassle. But it's not the only bad thing. There's many mechanics that suck. Basket, do you have one that you want to share
with us? All right.
So this one, so I did some research because I'm not really familiar with a lot of old Pokemon mechanics.
Yeah.
But I found one that is a complete gem. So these are called Crystal Pokemon.
Oh.
And what the deal here is they're secret rare cards, and they look pretty cool. I'm looking at a Nidoking and a Kingdra right now, and the artwork's pretty cool. But the problem is that it's a really cool concept, but it's just been put to waste. Because their attack costs make them absolutely unplayable. So all right. So everyone who plays the TCG knows we have dragon Pokemon. And they're not often used because they always have two different energy cards for the cost of their attacks.
Yeah.
But we can get by this by using a double dragon energy, right? Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
With crystal Pokemon, you have to have three different energy cards on the card.
Wow.
And it's insane. So, like, and the normal doesn't count. So I'm looking at this Nidoking right now. And Poison Horn, which does 20. I mean, keep in mind, this was a while ago, so the damage is a lot lower. But Poison Horn does 20 damage for 2 grass energy and a colorless. And then Rolling Thunder needs 2 lightning energies and 2 fighting energies. Wow. So it's insane. It's crazy. I mean, they're absolutely useless in the TCG, and the Kingdra needs 2 waters and a lightning to throw off one of its attacks. And then in the other one, it's 2 psychics, a lightning and a colorless. I mean, these are just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
They're so over the top. The cards apparently were so bad that they were only available in 2 sets. No, unless you're a collector, you don't want anything to do with these.
Oh yeah. No, those were terrible. Those were terrible. Now, we lost Thatch for a minute there, so he'll be back with us soon enough. So we're going to continue on. Another one of the mechanics that... So Basket, do you have another mechanic you want to share with us?
Yeah. So there's this... Well, I guess it's more of a card than a mechanic, but it changes how the... how the mechanics of an actual match would go. Okay. And this is called First Ticket. So it's a item card, a trainer card.
Yeah.
And it says, before you flip a coin to decide who goes first in a game, you may play this card. So I don't know how that works anyways, but don't flip that coin and you go first. If both players play First Ticket, flip the coin as normal. So basically, this card allows you to switch your turn order.
Yeah.
But
I remember this.
But it has you go first, which I don't know. I mean, it's kind of useful in some points and everything, but it's the part that makes this so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Is that you need to have 4 to have a 1 in 15 chance of this being the top card on your deck.
Yeah.
So that's
just so you can start first.
Yeah. So that's 4 slots in your deck just to start first when you have a 50% chance of starting first.
Yeah.
It's insane. And I understand.
It's pretty crazy. I remember this card quite well.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I understand, you know, that like,
yeah,
it can help out.
I'm back. I'm alive. It's okay. Yeah, my computer's just like, I'm going to sleep now. I'm like, no, you're not.
Welcome back, Thatch.
Basket. Yeah.
Yeah. So the card, it's absolutely ridiculous. I have no understanding why this card was ever made, other than for it to just be filler.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm pretty sure it saw some play. It's just a niche thing that. Really wasn't worth playing. Really wasn't, but it was something that people would play just for funds. We were talking about First Ticket, which is a trainer card that if you had it on your first turn, you would go first.
Oh, that sounds dumb.
Yeah, it is. Another one of the bad mechanics that we wanted to talk about, I'm glad you're here, Thatch, to talk about this one, is everyone's favorite e-reader cards.
Okay, this isn't a bad mechanic. You're just wrong.
This was horrible for multiple reasons, but the number one of them was it made the cards look terrible. So for those of you that don't know, e-reader was this thing that Nintendo, this time it was Nintendo, wanted to push. And
it was so bad.
It was so bad. So you would basically scan the cards on this scanner that you would attach to your Game Boy Advance.
It only worked on the Advance too. It didn't work on the SP.
Yep. And on your Game Boy Advance, and you could scan it and it will, you know, record to your game. I don't even remember what it actually did in game because I never tried it.
I remember very vividly because there was a promo Ho-Oh and a promo Rapidash that came in an issue of Nintendo Power.
Okay, I remember that.
They tried, and so those were the only ones I had because I didn't collect the cards at the time. I was into Yu-Gi-Oh at the time, so I wasn't playing Pokemon. And isn't that awful? In retrospect, I think I should have played Pokemon because, like, I really feel like I missed out. Not because the cards were like they're probably trash, honestly. Right? but that Ho-Oh and that Rapidash, what you could do is if you scan both those cards, right, you could go and you could collect the cards in certain card combinations. What they would do is unlock a game in the e-reader, like a small little mini game. Yeah. And there was a cool little Rapidash Ho-Oh mini game where you can jump through rings of fire, just like Johnny Cash. And you know, it was a cool little mini game, and there were apparently several from the e-reader line. And you could also do like Pokedex entries from them because there was a scan on the long side and on the bottom side as well. Yeah. One did one and one did the other.
Man, they look terrible. It just made the card so ugly to look
at. Nostalgically, it's fantastic because it's like, those were e-reader cards. That's cool.
Yeah, but aesthetically, was not fun at all. They were really, really bad, and I'm glad they're gone and never to come back again. Nintendo, don't ever try this again. It was just bad. And of course, I wanted to end this with a mechanic that Dutch already talked about a little bit, that is still right now working, and honestly, I think most of us here want it out, and those are basic EX Pokemon. Now, EX Pokemon, as we talked before, when they were first introduced to the game, they were just like how GX works now, where you evolve your Pokemon into your Pokemon EX. That was thrown out the window back in Gen 5, where we were introduced to every single EX Pokemon is a basic, no matter what stage it is. It could be a Charizard. Charizard EX would be played as a basic Pokemon. This, at first, was big, and it was fun. Definitely. But it did, in my opinion, did a secondary effect to the game where it was everyone would just play these EX cards. Everything else was not worth playing. Anything else that it was an evolution, even if it was an incredibly good card, just because it evolved, automatically signified that it's a handicap and was not meant to be played. And it was a situation where we really saw that the game got a little bit stale. What do you guys think of Thatch?
Oh man, it's definitely stale. I mean, I don't like it. It's just kind of like, I don't know. It's like the idea of S-rank Pokemon and competitive in VGC. You just get to the point where, I mean, you have to run those to be competitively viable, right? I'm a fan of running cheap decks and building cheap decks because, one, it's a fun challenge, and two, it's really fun. I know you can't really like BM in TCG online, but I feel really good when like I take that Typhlosion card from Breakthrough and I just like pound a guy that has like Yveltal EX and stuff. You know, stuff that they probably went and they bought TCG packs for so they could trade to get their decks built.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just like a sense of satisfaction I get from that. And yeah. I mean, just because I think these cards are expensive, that it makes the game too fast, and it's a barrier to entry, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. You weren't finished.
So, like I said,
no, I'm done. Okay. You're right.
Yeah. So, I said before a little bit, I loved and hated them because I liked the idea of, you know, it felt to me like, okay, I'm like, you know, I have just beat the Elite Four. I have my, you know, my fully evolved Pokemon here that I just, you know, throw out and can start doing some damage, you know? So I liked that aspect where, you know, I could pick my favorite one out of the good EXs, you know, and play that. And that was a cool idea. Or that was, yeah, it was cool for me. But I just wanted to, I'm ready for it to slow down a little bit. I'm ready for it to have a much bigger pool of potential surprises. You know, I'd like another Mega Audino surprise, you know?
Yeah. And to be clear here, we're not saying that it's a bad mechanic. I mean, it completely revamped the game and changed it, and it was a lot of fun to play. What we're trying to say is that we're over it. We're good. It was fun. It was great. Just like Mega Evolutions in Gen 6, it was great. It was fun. Let's leave it there and move on to newer things. And
honestly,
just like
Basket, I think.
Go ahead.
I think that all the. Sorry to interrupt you, but no. I think that from what I hear of like how the other previous generations played and everything like that, I think that the X and Y EX generation, I think they were probably the smoothest. As far as gameplay that's ever been done by the Pokemon company, because it was just, I don't know, there were so many different, I don't know, man, it did not feel clunky ever, you know? Mm-hmm. And now I'm starting to play with
it. Felt a lot more competitive, if that makes any sense. It's a lot. They provided a lot more cards that had a competitive vibe to them.
Yeah.
Than before. Because we have always had Pokemon has always had competitive cards. But the deck pool, as Haiti previously mentioned in the last episode, the pools were not that big. Usually, once they people would go, once those deck lists was online, people would go with the same decks to the tournament. So, and that's what EX did. It's like, it made it so, like, these are the rules to play the game. So this is what you need. Everything else doesn't really matter. Even if it's a stage one or stage two, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
So, we're ready. We're ready for a GX-only meta. Hopefully that will come soon. Not sure if it's happened this year or it's going to be next year. So, we don't know. But what I do know is that we're going to move on to our sponsors, and once we get back, we're going to go ahead and discuss really quickly our deck of the episode. We'll be right back.
Good day, mates. Want something different? Then come on down to the Rhyhorn Steakhouse and try our new Southern Carlos-style Buffalo wings, critically acclaimed. And this weekend only, Rhyhorn Steaks are buy one, get one half off. That's for you and your special someone. Rhyhorn Steakhouse is a proud sponsor of the Puckle TCG podcast. And at Rhyhorn Steakhouse, where if it moves, we'll serve it.
It is the deck of the episode.
Welcome back, everybody, to deck of the episode, where we're going to discuss one of the decks that we mentioned earlier today that had a big showing in the Athens Championships in Georgia. And that is the Zebreska Vespiquen deck. Zebreska?
Zebstrika.
There we go.
Zebstrika.
Now, yeah. This deck is... I know it's right up Basket's alley. It features, of course, the Vespiquen that we know, all love, and it's dear to our hearts. which basically, with the double colorless energy, does 10 damage, plus 10, 20 plus 10 for each Pokemon in your discard pile. So it racks up as you go. This basically, the concept of this deck is really simple. You got Vespiquen as your main attacker, which will basically deal with most of the major threats in the game. And then you have your Zebreska, I'm never going to pronounce that correctly, which basically is there to just make your opponent's Shaymin EX sweat, their Evelta EX just sweat, your Mega Rayquaza EX. There just can be one hit KO. Now, for those of you who don't remember what Zebreska does, Basket, remind us of that.
All right, Zebreska, it's got 100 HP. It's got an ability called Zap Zone that we don't give a crap about. What we want is we want Crashing Bolt. It has Crashing Bolt. 50 damage plus if your opponent's active Pokemon has a fighting resistance, this attack does 60 more damage. This card is purely to just annihilate Yveltal, also Rayquaza, and Shaymin. So yeah. This thing is a fantastic tech card. It's been used in all kinds of decks because it's just two colorless. It can be thrown into anything that uses double colorless. This basically really, really helps out Vespiquen to the point that it doesn't need the evolutions or anything like that to mm-hmm. made it get its point across.
Yes. Now, usually this deck also includes Garbodor for ability control. Of course, you won't play Garbodor unless you really need it, as the other cards in this deck require mm-hmm. you to use that Pokemon ability, which is obviously Klefki and Unknown. These are well known to be in a Vespiquen deck because they're easy to discard. Unknown lets you discard it from your bench and draw a card, and Klefki allows you to use it as a tool and then discard it at the end of the turn. So obviously their purpose is just to be on your discard pile so Vespiquen can deal more damage. This is a great little fun deck to play. It is actually pretty economical as well, as none of these cards are pretty expensive. And you could play it even without Shaymin. For example, the deck that was played in one of the decks that was played in the championship included just one Shaymin and actually had Octillery as its draw power. So it's definitely a deck that you can play around, switch and choose, and just modify us the best way you want to play it. So that's for you guys, Vespiquen, Zabreska. Great deck. You'll definitely will be seeing it a lot in play. Now let's go ahead and move on to the mailbag, or trainer's mail, as we call it here in the TCG. And we only have one mail. So I'm not even going to put the music for trainer's mail. Let's go ahead and just read it, since it's right there. Basket. Let's
all read right.
Huckleberry Ben.
Greetings, Huckleberry Ben here. I attended my first pre-release for Sun and Moon, and I really enjoyed it. My son and I plan to start attending our local league for casual play. Our league also hosts weekly expanded tournaments, and I would like to potentially participate in those as well. I was wondering if you could provide some insight into the expanded format and how it differs from standard. I was also hoping you could discuss some reasonable budget decks that a newbie could look at before fully investing in the more expensive cards that I assume play a role in expanded play. I have really enjoyed your podcast as a source of information as I have become involved in this aspect of the fandom. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Huckleberry Ben.
Thank you, and what a great question as well.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's two main formats in Pokemon TCG, and that's expanded and standard. Thatch, do you want to explain the difference between them?
So standard right now, I believe, is only Primal Clash onwards. Mm-hmm. So you have to know set dates, which if you start playing this a lot, you'll learn them very easily. Because I know I sure have. I can probably tell you everything from X and Y onwards. Unfortunately, X and Y onwards won't do you much good in expanded because you're going to go all the way back to Black and White, the original Black and White set. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so, I think, in my opinion, just because that's when the meta really shifted to that basic EX format.
Standard in TCG is a way, it has two functions. Number one, limiting the pool of cards available. It mm-hmm. makes for a more concentrated meta. It makes it for a more
I think it changes a lot more than it would, because like imagine if like some of the expanded decks were allowed in the meta now, right? Things like I think this kind of will tie into is how to do cheap expanded decks as well. You'll see something like Deluge, Blastoise, and Keldeo. You'll see Keldeo a lot, right? In expanded, and if you threw that in now, you'd still see Keldeo a lot. It's a good card, and I mean if Water Patch comes about, right? You see that, and that's giant. That's giant. But that ties in, though. You can go buy those decks right now, those arena battle decks, and I think there's some good cards in there for expanded.
Well, technically, you can't, because they sold out.
Really? I can go buy, like, 10 of them right now.
Really? Then yeah, that
I can
would be
I can go walk I over to my Target find... and walk over to my Walmart and buy easily 10 of them, if not more.
Wow, I can't find one for the life of me.
That's because you live in Seattle, probably. You come to Columbus, Ohio, where we have a good cost of living, and
nobody plays
Arena Battle Decks, okay?
And nobody plays Pokemon. That's why
plenty of people
playing
Pokemon. I'm going to League here in a couple of weeks with Beaver Law, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool. So yeah, standard. Like I was saying, standard has two functions. Number one is limiting the carpool, making it more predictable what you can do. So it puts you in a more chess-like situation where, oh, he's played this card. I can kind of guess from that he has this, and that from his deck. And then you can work with that. The other function it has is, of course, Pokemon TCG wants you to buy more cards. So it's going to limit the sets that you can buy from so they can keep buying new cards that come in. And then there's Expanded. Basket, you want to take it away with Expanded?
Yeah. Basically, for the budget decks you were talking about, honestly, I think a great, great, great deck to get into the TCG with is either Night March or Vespaquen, because they allow you to learn the mechanics very quickly without worrying too much about messing up how you play, because they're super easy decks to play. I mean, it's pretty much like plug it in and go.
Yeah.
And also you'll win some matches, even if you're, you know, not very good.
Yeah.
So it's a great way to get into it, so you don't lose interest by just getting smashed by everybody who knows how to do better or play better than you. So I would highly recommend getting one of those two budget decks. You'll probably catch less flack if you play Vespaquen.
People get really judgmental when they see Night March decks.
Yeah, they do. And if you do decide to do, but honestly, you should forget about them. Learn to play. And like, if someone says, you know, like if someone's like, oh, you're playing Night March, be like, hey man, I'm learning how to play the game, and this was an easy budget deck for me to learn on. So, but yeah, and if you do Vespaquen deck, you should get the Flareon from
Plasma Storm.
Yes, the Plasma Storm Flareon.
Yeah.
It has the same attack as Vespaquen, but it's not called Be Revenge, obviously. I don't remember what it's called. It's just it's just one more attacker that hits for a different type. So I would highly encourage you to grab one of those two decks and learn that way, because they're cheap, they're easy to play, and they're a great way to get into the game.
They really are. And Expanded is just that. It's just a bigger pool of cards going all the way, like Thatch said, Black and White. And there's a lot more randomness to it because there's more cards. So you never really know what to expect. And they're a lot of fun because of that same reason. Sometimes I love playing Expanded because I play against what I call a zombie deck. A deck so non-used, old, that was good at the time. And it's like, oh my god, I remember that deck. That was a good deck. And I'm totally not prepared for it. For example, when Genesect, I was playing an expanded tournament, and suddenly my opponent pulled out a Genesect, which used the Ace spec, which is a great deck that won champions 2 years in a row. But I haven't seen it in like 2 years, and suddenly he pulled out that Genesect deck. And it's a lot of fun seeing those old decks just coming back to just take you by surprise. So that's basically the two difference between standards, and both Basket and Thatch gave great examples of good card decks that you can buy in a budget. Both the Arena decks, if you can find them, obviously you need to go to Ohio apparently, and Night March and Vespaquen, such as Basket suggested. So that's it for the mailbag. Thank you, Huckleberry, for sending us an email. Of course, you guys at home, you know you can do that. Send your emails to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. We will definitely read them on air and answer any questions that you might have. Now, we're going to move on to the last section of the podcast, and that is Who's That Pokemon? Pokemon 15 Questions. We'll be right back.
Who's That Pokemon?
Welcome back, everybody, to everyone's favorite part. It is Who's That Pokemon? Pokemon 15 Questions. Now, as you guys know, this is the chance to stop our co-host, and we already did. Apparently, Thatch here
stumped really Gator and game. Edie
on our last episode, so I'm kind of jelly. So now I want to stump him. Pretty sure I'm not going to be able to do it, but I'm going to give it my all. Of course, you know the rule, guys. No, well, lower your browsers, no internet whatsoever, no Pokedexes, no books. You cannot ask any questions about numbers, Pokedex and Pokedex numbers, or generations. Let's start there. The order is going to be Thatch and then Basket. So Thatch, what's your first question?
Is it a boy or a girl?
Make
it a good one. let's see. What's a good way to go about this? There was a good one. Scrom did a good one on Game Corner, actually, that I really liked, but I don't want to make you search for it. Because like it's a good question, and it eliminates like half the types.
What I started thinking is we should start asking like what it's weak to.
Ooh, that's interesting. Cause like the way that Scrawn did it, he asked like if it was a special or physical type before the physical special split. Wait, yeah, I don't know if you know that off the top of your head. So
I don't.
It's gonna just make things more difficult. I like the idea of whether it's weak to something. I like that a lot, actually.
And that again,
unless we end up with like
that question is like, your same life. One. That question kind of falls in the same rank as if he would have done that question to me, I would actually said no because that falls in the same rank as whether or not it was in Heart Gold Soul Silver. That's very meta
It doesn't. What do you mean? Whether or not it was special or physical before the split, that has nothing to do with what generation it was in. If it's a type before then, so like it's literally every type of fairy type, and they either had a physical or special attack. They were either based on the official special or physical attack. So okay. Like that's not a generations question at all.
Okay.
Nothing to do with generations. Because
getting off topic here, guys.
Yeah, exactly. I need to ask a question here. I'm defending a question that I'm not going to ask.
That's just stalling for time because he knows this question sucks.
I do like this, though, asking if it's weak to something. I think one of the more common things to be weak to, because which one has the most spread? Is this weak to water type? I think that's a good one.
No. Basket?
What would be a good one to go to after water?
Water? Okay, so water is good against it's good against
ground, fire,
rock. If it's not weak to water, we know it's not ground, it's not fire, it's not rock, it's not there has to be more weak to water, right? Or am I dumb? I'm probably dumb.
Let me think.
I honestly don't know.
You just asked the first question, guys. You can move on.
Well, we've eliminated three types of that one question, which is really good, honestly. Fairy be another one, because fairy is good against fighting.
Yeah. Is it weak to fairy?
No.
No, not weak to fairy. Okay, so that we've eliminated like six or seven types here. It's not weak to fairy. So it's not ground, fire, rock, or fighting, or dark, or dragon. So that's good because that leaves us like with 10 types. Let's see what else is a good type. Rock is actually super effective.
Unless the combination of two types makes it not be super effective.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. I'm an awful person. I didn't even know the logistics of this question.
Oh man.
See?
So I know it's not two of these types. Is this Pokemon dual type?
No. That's a good question.
that's, That was a bait and switch. That was a... Oh my God. Wow.
I feel that's good to ask, because we should have clarified that before we started asking what it was weak to.
Wow. That was a huge bait and switch. Oh man. If we lose, it's because of that question, Miguel.
I don't think so. I think we'll be okay.
Well, now you know that is a single type, so.
Yeah. Yep. So I mean, this is valid. We've knocked out six types.
Yep.
Correct.
I think. I'm not sure what else is weak to why. I don't know my type chart, apparently.
All right. So it's that's just question again, right?
No. I just asked if there was a dual site.
Oh, right. Okay.
We could just keep going with the weaknesses, because that's like, that's golden.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
You could do something like,
is it weak to, I'm going to go with electric.
That's a good one.
No.
It's not weak to electric.
Wow. Okay.
So that knocks out flying, but that just literally eliminates tornadoes. And it's not a water type either.
Yeah.
So that we knocked out eight types.
Okay. So then what are the types that are left?
Steel's left, fairy's left, grass. I mean, fire would be a good type to ask, actually, if it's weak to fire. Is it weak to fire?
No.
Well, no, no.
I'm asking it. No, that's a good one, because that eliminates.
We already asked if it was weak to water.
No, I'm asking if it's weak to fire now, because that doesn't... Those are mutually exclusive.
You're right. All right. I got confused. My turn.
Wow, we've eliminated a lot right here. Okay, good.
Okay, so is this Pokemon a fairy type?
No.
Not fairy. So I guess we don't have to worry about whether or not it's weak to. So we've eliminated I think 11 types already. We've asked literally every type that didn't exist already. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah. So we've got seven types left. Dark is still up in the air. What else is up in the air? Actually, no, Dark's not up in the air at all right now. Psychic's still up in the air. Ghost is still up in the air. I think we should ask if it's weak to Ghost. I think that's reasonable.
Okay.
Is it weak to Ghost?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Weak to Ghost. So weak to Ghost means it's got to be a psychic type or a ghost type. Because I don't think Ghost is super effective at anything else. All right, so that's so we just have to eliminate which one. Is it Ghost or Psychic?
All right. So then it's my turn, right?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Is it Ghost?
Nope.
So it's Psychic.
All right. Psychic, okay.
It's a pure Psychic type. Okay. So
how many questions do we have left?
Yeah, I'm feeling like eight. Seven or something. We've asked like half the questions.
You guys have six questions left.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, so it's a psychic type. We've gotten to the type though. We're gotten the type, so we're not completely awful yet. So how do we eliminate psychic types? Let's see.
We should ask
if it's in an evolution or not, and where.
Yeah. I think we should ask if it's a basic or not.
Yeah. Is this a basic Pokemon?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's 10.
Basket. Okay.
So it is a basic.
Yes.
So let's see. That's like Abra and Drowsy, and not Espeon.
Okay. So let's think of our options right now.
There aren't a lot of pure psychic types.
So there's
not that many. There's like Drowsy,
Mewtwo,
Mewtwo, yeah.
There's well, Mew. Because this one's a basic.
Yeah, Mewtwo, Mew, Drowsy.
Oh, but we didn't ask if it evolved or not.
Yeah, we didn't ask if it evolves or not. Maybe that's a good question.
Yeah, that'll cut it down a lot.
Yeah. Right, it's your question. You have to ask.
Does it evolve?
Yes.
That's okay. 11.
Okay. So, it does evolve. So that knocks out Mewtwo and Mew. Drowsy's still up in the air. Abra's still up in the air.
A lot of them have the color pink.
Spoink is up in the air. Trying to think of pure psychic type Pokemon. There aren't a lot of those. Spoink is up in the air. Pure psychic types. This is rough. I wonder if Snag likes it.
how many questions do we have left? We have this would four be our questions. Third.
We have four questions left.
Okay, then I think we should ask if it has pink in it.
Does it have purple or pink in it?
Yes.
Okay. Might be Spoink. or Musharna.
Okay, so the ones I can think of.
Not Musharna, whatever the pre-evolution of Musharna is. It's.
I think we brought it down to a lot, because the only ones I can think of are... Spoink.
Spoink and Muna.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones I can think of, is Spoink and Muna.
Yeah.
I don't know what else it is. It's got to be one of those two. Ask if it's all got right. Flowers.
Okay, I've got a question that I think will narrow it down.
Uh-huh.
did Team Plasma kick around this Pokemon?
No.
So it's not Muna.
So I think it's Spoink.
It's got it. Yeah, so we have two questions left.
Yep.
So I could ask whether or not it looks like a pig. does this Pokemon look like a pig?
Yes.
Ah, yeah.
Basket, you wanna finish it?
Spoink.
Wrong. No, yes, it is Spoink.
I honestly couldn't think of any other psychic types. I don't know if there's that many pure psychic types.
Well, they are a few. But congratulations, guys. You got it on the number 15 questions. You guys, I was worried in the beginning because you guys were focusing a lot on finding the type. And I'm like, will they have enough questions to actually figure out what
I think the weakness thing was really good, honestly, for that. It was
no, it was effective, but it could have it's definitely flawed. If you couldn't figure out which Pokemon it was.
Like, it's definitely flawed.
Yeah.
I'm not saying by any means that it's not flawed. Yeah. The other one could have been Why Not. Why Not was an option, so is Chingling. Yeah. Gothita was. Chingling doesn't have purple in it or pink.
Yeah. But if I would have said no to that question on the pink, you guys would have been like.
Oh, we would have been screwed. There's no way. Yeah. there's no way. Cosmog was also an option.
Yep. There's a lot of basic Pokemon.
Yeah, actually, yeah, there's a lot of peers.
Okay, guys, well, thank you so much for joining me, both Basket and Thatch. You guys are the great. Thank you so much for joining us. To our listeners, thank you so much as well. But of course, if you like what you hear, follow us on Facebook at Puckle Podcast. Or you can also go to our Facebook group /TCG, Puckle TCG. It's a great group. We have great people there, constantly on the know, constantly chatting. Gator handles that website. It's awesome. Go ahead and join us there. But don't stop there. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Reddit. You can get there through our webpage. We got our chatbot meetups every month where you can get your 6IV dittos and also meet us and join us for some fun chatting. And if it's all possible, if there's some extra change in your pockets, go to our Patreon. Donate. Everything that you put on Puckle goes directly to back to the community. That is how Thatch is able to buy all those magnificent presents and stuff that goes to you guys. And keep joining us for our other podcasts, such as the Movie Club,
the Game Corner, and of course that little show they call Puckle Podcast. It's not really, that's the least one you want to hear about.
And wait, and don't forget about the Puckle Discord server now.
Oh yes, that is something new. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, so like, I mean, we just opened it up. It's a lot of fun. It's way better on the go than the chat boxes right now. So this may eventually become the chat box, but it's a lot of fun. We got about 50, 60 people on it right now, and it's just constantly going. So if you want to just talk Puckle on your phone all the time, feel free. Just drop on in. I'll make sure that the Discord link's in the show notes here.
So, you want to tell them what Discord is for people that don't know?
Yeah, that's true. It was first intended as like gamer talk software, but it's essentially a chat box on the go, and you can also get on voice channels as well with people if you really want to. That's all open to the. It's open to everybody, honestly, and it's a lot of fun.
Sounds awesome. Yeah. Great, guys. Well, thank you once again, Thatch, for joining us.
Yep, of course.
Thank you, Basket.
My pleasure, as always.
Thanks to both of your Thatch's wife and Amaze Day, your fiancé, for lending you guys to me to record this.
Yeah, she's looking at me right now.
And thank you guys for listening in. Stay tuned for our next episode. And of course, the time has come, as it does every week. That time, of course, is closing time. Good night.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.